In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today the readings come from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it's the famous story that we all know of the feeding of the 5,000. And the church reads this for us because this is actually the fifth Sunday of the month of the Coptic month. So in any Coptic month, if there are five Sundays, the fifth Sunday is always this Gospel. And it's called the Gospel of Blessing, because we see how something was put into God's hands that was, wasn't enough, and it was put in God's hands, and He blessed it and multiplied it. So actually, as I was thinking to myself what to speak about, because this is a gospel that's repeated often, it came to mind, to my mind, the events that happened on July the 3rd in Egypt. And I felt that this was a time, for at least for me, for giving of thanks, and I think for the most of the people here and also in Egypt. And I think they're entering into a difficult time now, or a transitory period. So it's going to be still difficult, and they still need our consistent prayers, even though we're offering thanks for the work of God in this matter. So I'd like to speak today about the giving of thanks, or thanksgiving, as a virtue in the life of each Christian person. This virtue is actually, it's very important for all Christians to try to have or to attain. Because whenever somebody's thankful, they find favor with other people and also with God. Typically, other people like, a person who's always giving thanks or is always thankful. And it also pleases God to see people that are thankful. And when somebody offers somebody thanks, it shows them it's an expression of gratitude for this particular, for whatever reason, for somebody doing somebody helping somebody. And it also acknowledges the help or the effort that the person put into whatever it is that they were doing. So typically, the people that are thankful people are loved both by men and also by God. And it says, the psalmist says in Psalm 50, he gives us this command. He says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So it's a command for each believer to offer God thanksgiving. But we can always ask ourselves, does God need our thanksgiving? No, He doesn't need it. He would like it, but He doesn't need it. He likes us to give thanks, but He doesn't need it, because there's nothing that we can do or say that will change who God is as a person. He's still going to be in heaven. He's still going to be full of glory. He's still going to be full of honor. He has the angels and the saints and everybody to praise Him there. So our thanksgiving won't add or take away from Him at anything. But actually, it is we that need to offer God thanks. St. Isaac the Syrian says something very nice. He says, there is not an abundance of blessings without thanksgiving. There is not an abundance of blessings without thanksgiving. So the more we thank God for His work in our life, we will see His blessings, according to Saint Isaac. And giving thanks to God will increase our love for Him, and it will also protect us from the sin of pride. Because whenever we offer thanks, we acknowledge that this was something that I did not do. So anytime you thank God, thank you for saving me from this particular temptation, and then we acknowledge God's work in this particular moment. So it protects us from the pride, saying, oh, I did this, I accomplished this. Thank you, God, for allowing me to serve you in this particular manner. Then we give the glory to God. And actually, it's a nice, way, if anybody comes to praise you for anything that you did, and you're scared to be puffed up from it, just give thanks. Thank you, God, for allowing me to do this particular work. So it can protect us from pride. But before we speak about, I wanted to speak about the different degrees of thanksgiving, and also some reasons why we don't give thanks. And finally, what is a person that gives thanks? What are his characteristics? What do they look like? So hopefully maybe we can emulate that in our life. But before we do that, there are two things that a thankful person has to come to terms with and understand. The first is God's love for me, or God's love for them. In the Thanksgiving prayer, we say, let us give thanks to the beneficent and merciful God. Here it says, who are we giving thanks to? The beneficent and merciful God. What does the beneficent mean? Does anybody know? Yes, to do good, the doer of good things, somebody that does good. So it's in God's nature to do good. So we're thanking Him for His goodness that He offers to us and mankind. And this goodness is rooted in none other than His love for us. So the person who wants to live a life of thanksgiving has to come to realize that everything God allows and does in my life is for our good and out of His goodness. It's for our good and out of His goodness. The second thing that we have to understand is that He is Almighty. And again, in the Thanksgiving prayer, we mentioned this a couple of times. We say, let us also ask Him, the Lord our God, the Panto Curator, the Father of our Lord, God and Savior Jesus Christ. Panto Curator here means somebody who is Almighty, who is all-powerful. So if I'm thanking somebody who's almighty, that means, you know, I kind of like align myself up, or I put my trust in this person who is almighty. So it's kind of like if we feel like we have, you know, we know somebody in a high place, we have confidence in our relationship that if ever I'm in trouble, this person maybe will help and bail me out. But our God is that person in a high place who's almighty, who not only can arrange things in our life, but also can change the hearts of those people around us. So maybe when things get troubling around us and the people around us seem to be troubling us, we should never lose hope in God's ability to change that person's heart, because He can, because He's Almighty. And that's His job. So it allows us to live kiddah without fear in our life. So what are the different degrees of thanksgiving? Just like, you know, in any other spiritual virtue, there are certain degrees, you know, and how we escalate up this ladder or this virtue. The first is to love or to thank God for the blessings that He has given us. So He has given us success in our careers. He has given us health. He's given us, you know, the ability to walk, the ability to see, the ability to, you know, do anything. You pray for a certain matter. Lord, I'm having a problem in this class. Help me with this class. Lord, I'll be applying to this particular college. Help me. And He gives it to you. So these things are very tangible, things that we see God's, you know, hand in our life, His blessings. So these are the first degree is the giving of thanks for God's tangible blessings in our life. The second is a little bit higher than this, is giving thanks to God for the things that we don't see. Giving thanks to God for the things that we don't see, the things that He does behind the scenes, that we may not ever realize. And believe me, I think when we go to heaven, we will be, our eyes will open to how much Satan wanted to tempt us and to try us, and God told him no. And we see this very clearly in the story of Job, where Satan wanted to attack Job, and God said, okay, you have his properties. And then he went and tried him with his properties, and Job was successful. And he said, okay, but, you know, he still has his health. If you let me attack him personally, then he'll curse you. So he said, okay, but don't touch his soul. So he put limits here. God put limits on Satan. And this, we see God's almightiness in this situation. And we also see how Job didn't know what was going on. This was something between Satan and God. So I'm sure when we get to heaven, we will see all the ways that God protected us and we didn't even realize it. So we should give thanks to God for that. Also, the next level, so we said the first level is to thank Him for His blessings, the things we see. The second is to thank Him for the things we don't see. The third thing is to thank Him in times of hardship and tribulation. And this is very difficult. St. Paul says to the Colossians, he says to them, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. So St. Paul is saying that he rejoices in his suffering. It's difficult, but possible. He rejoices in his suffering. What is he rejoicing? Is he rejoicing in the fact that he's just suffering? No, because no one really wants to suffer. No one wants to just, you know, if somebody comes and, you know, steals my property, I'm not going to be like, oh, thank God. Or if somebody comes and hurts me, I'm going to say, oh, thank God. But no one wants to be, you know, to suffer. But what we're thanking God for is for the blessing that comes along with that, or the promised reward. And that's why he says, he clarifies in Romans, to the Romans, he says, if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him, or together with him. So we are thanking him for our participation in that glory, in that promised glory. So we thank God for allowing us to participate. And I was, serving yesterday a liturgy in the Synaxar. There's a reading of a saint called Saint Abahor. And I was reading the Synaxarium, and it says that he was thrown in boiling water and he thanked God. And I'm thinking to myself, this is amazing. He's thanking God because he got in boiling water. So it made me think, this is the level where he was able to suffer and still give thanks to God, because he knows that all things work together for those, to the good, to those who love God, even the suffering. And even, participating in the suffering of Christ and of the church and of the apostles, I have this share, so I give thanks because of the promised reward that will come after that. And even St. Paul himself, who was one of the greatest evangelists, he had a thorn in the flesh. They even say he had an eye problem, and it smelled really bad. So anytime somebody came to him and, they came to greet him, they would smell this smell, and it would probably turn a lot of people off. But he still, so he said, okay, God, I pray that you may remove this thorn from me, that I may actually serve you better, write more letters. I can, talk with people more freely without being self-conscious of this stench that's coming from me. But God tells him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And then St. Paul says that he is thankful. And St. Paul also tells us to give thanks in the 1 Thessalonians. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the will of God for us is to give thanks for everything. And in Thanksgiving Sarah, we pray for every condition, concerning every condition, and in every condition. So whether we're healthy, we're sick, we're poor, we're wealthy, whatever the circumstance might be, we give thanks to God for, knowing that he loves us, as we said, and knowing that he's almighty, he's the Panto Curator. So what are the things that keep us from giving thanks, or what are some reasons why we don't give thanks in our life? I think the first is dissatisfaction with my current status or my current state. We always feel this sense of discontentment, that I'm not happy with where I am. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean we should not be ambitious. People say, oh, but Abuna, what about being ambitious and trying to, strive to maybe a higher position at work or excel in my education and things like that? There's nothing wrong with that. But what makes ambition godly is thanksgiving. What makes ambition godly is thanksgiving. When I say, okay, I am going to pursue a higher education, or I'm going to pursue another career, a higher career, I will do it with thanksgiving, whether I receive it or not. I will offer thanks to God, because I know, I go back to the principle, I know he loves me, and I know he's almighty. So if this is something that God sees is best for my life, then he will allow it to happen. So either way, I give thanks. So that makes ambition godly, is when we offer thanks and accept the outcome, whichever way it might turn. Also, complaining. So first is dissatisfaction with our current state. Second is complaining, where, I just feel like you complain about everything. And everybody's been around these people who, if it's sunny outside, they're complaining. If it's raining outside, they're complaining. You can never seem to satisfy these people. So I want us to look and see, is this me? Is that I'm always complaining? Do I always look at the negative in people's lives or criticizing the people around me? Am I just complaining constantly, or do I offer thanks? And people also always say, I have nothing. When I get something, then I'll offer thanks to God. No, if we actually realize it, that we have plenty. I heard a story once of a boy who wanted to buy new shoes for the beginning of the school year, and his parents couldn't afford it, and he got all upset and he was angry, and he reverted. He's like, okay, I'll take my old shoes, take it to the shoe guy and have him clean them to make them look like new. So on his way, he's going to clean his shoes, and he saw another young boy who was just, you know, very happy. He was just on cloud nine. So he's like, this guy must have have brand new shoes or something. So he looks down and sees the guy, and he's an double amputee. He has prosthetics. He doesn't have any legs. So this poor kid, of course, and he's like, he felt bad. So this is the point. We have to give thanks to God for the things that we have. Don't always look at things in discontentment or like unsatisfaction. So complaining. Another reason why we don't give thanks is egocentrism, is because I'm the center of my world, everything kind of revolves around me. And when everything revolves around me, I'm unaware of the condition of other people. Some people complain, oh, because, you know, my back hurts. But so what about maybe your brother and sister who is lying on his bed with a terminal disease? Or what about, you know, somebody who, just lost their job, or somebody that lost a relative or a child? Being unaware with the conditions of other people and being always centered on ourselves doesn't allow us to give thanks, because everything is about me, me, me. So let's, you know, turn from this. Let's look at the conditions of other people. There are many things that I have that other people wish they had. If you ask a person on a transplant list what's the one thing that they would wish they have, they will tell you an organ, whether it be a kidney, liver, whatever it might be. But I have those and they're functioning. So I can thank God for that. So this egocentrism will hinder us from giving thanks to the Lord. And lastly, this a sense of entitlement, where I feel like I'm entitled to things. I think that I have the right to something. This sense of entitlement will never allow me to give thanks to God, because I think that I deserve it or I should have it. On the contrary, if we, you know, consider that what we have is, you know, is given to us from God for our salvation, then we will learn to be, you know, that we'll accept whatever condition that we're in. We won't have this sense of entitlement where I think or I deserve, you know, whatever it is that I desire. So what does the thankful person look like? So we can try to emulate. What do they look like? The first thing that the thankful person does, or one of the first thing, is that they look at the things from God's perspective. They look at things from God's perspective. If you look at St. Paul, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So St. Paul looked at suffering the same way that God looked at suffering. That the suffering we're suffering now is not comparable to the glory that we'll get in heaven for this suffering. So when we look at things the way that God looks at it, we come to terms with it. When we have a particular difficulty in our life, and, you know, we give thanks to it, then we say, we, you know, concede and say, God, you know what's best for me, and you know that this will lead me to salvation. And we have to keep in mind, God is not interested in our comfort here on earth. He is a little bit, okay? I'll take that back. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to be happy, okay? But his main primary focus is our salvation. So if our path to salvation comes at the expense of our comfort, he'll choose that path, and he'll arrange our life in such a manner. So, but his primary focus is for our salvation, and we have to come to terms with that and everything we face in our life. God allowed this particular thing to happen for my salvation. What's the message that God wants to send me through this experience? So the thankful person looks at things from God's perspective. The thankful person also truly feels unworthy of God's care and love. The thankful person truly feels unworthy of God's care and love. David, the prophet, is a good example of this in the Old Testament. God has blessed him above and beyond because of his obedience and his love for him. And after God has, it says in the Bible that after he gave him rest from his enemies, you know, David wanted to build a house for God. So then it says, you know, after that, it says in a prayer that David prayed to God, he says to him, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far?" So David looked at all of the blessings that God has given him and the success that God has given him, and he looks and says, "Who am I? I'm not worthy for what you have given me. How many times do we look to God and pray and say to him, Lord, what have I done to give me a wife like mine? What have I done to give me a husband like this? I thank you for this person, for the bad and good. If there is bad in our spouse or our children or whatever, know that this is, you know, something that God wants to teach us, and he wants us to kind of step up to the plate and maybe help that person. So there is a reason why we're in the circumstance that we're in. But unfortunately, you know, we don't give thanks for these circumstances. So truly feeling unworthy for God's care and love. Also, the thankful person is content. He's content with the situation that he's in. Solomon the Wise tells us in Proverbs, he says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. So he says in his prayer to God, don't make me rich or don't make me poor, but feed me with what is right, what is allotted to me. So he has this sense of contentment. And I hope that this will be our prayer, is that, Lord, I pray for this, 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 and this. But if this is not from you, or this is not for my salvation, I'm content with it. And I will thank you and glorify your name for it, even though I don't get it. So living this life of contentment, not always, you know, having to have the latest and greatest, you know, piece of technology out there. Living in contentment. And actually, here I want to point out, you know, something with this contentment, and something that can help us to learn contentment, is that even if I know that I always want to have the latest and greatest technology, for example, or the latest, you know, type of, you know, purse or style, if I know that this is me, I can train myself and say, okay, I'm not going to get it when it first comes out, although I can afford it, and although, you know, it's not a sin to get it, or it's not going to be offensive to others, or whatever it might be, but I'm going to wait, even if I can afford it. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to get it a year later, 6 months later. Because we discipline ourselves and even what we're able to do. And this will actually, for the adults, this will teach our children the same principle. When I tell my child, oh yeah, I want this, you know, particular watch or this particular phone, but I'm going to wait and I'm going to get it after 6 months. But dad, you can get it now. Yeah, I can get it now, but I'm going to wait because I really don't need it at this moment. So it teaches us the discipline. So even if we can afford things, let's, you know, discipline ourselves. And especially if we know that this is, you know, something that I struggle with. Also, the thankful person is joyful and peaceful. The thankful person who's always thanking God, you know, in every condition, in any condition, this person's peaceful and is always joyful. You say, what's the source of your joy? Oh, thank God, everything's going good. So the thankful person is a joyful and peaceful person. Also, the thankful person is loved by others. You know, anytime, you know, you see a thankful person, oh, thank you for doing this, thank you for doing that. The person is kind, you know, tends to be kind and gentle because they acknowledge the work of other people and they thank them for it. And people appreciate that. For usually they're loved by other people. So if I, you know, feel that a lot of people don't like me or hate me, ask myself, do I give thanks? Am I a thankful person? Do I thank them maybe when they go out of their way, you know, for me? Or when they do something, you know, that's worthy of thanks, even if it's not towards me. If I sense that people don't like me, ask yourself, am I thankful? Also, the last thing is that a thankful person rejoices in the success of other people, rejoices in the success of others. St. Paul to the Thessalonians, he says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So St. Paul was thankful of their spiritual growth. And it can go spiritually and materially as well. Am I thankful, or the thankful person, am I happy when other people succeed, whether it be spiritually in their spiritual life or whether it be monetarily or, you know, worldly? If I see somebody get a promotion, do I say, oh, I wish, you know, I would have got that. I'm going to try to, you know, put in something bad so he can get in trouble, maybe get fired, and then I can take his position. What's our train of thought when other people success or succeed? Do we envy them and try to bring them down? Or are we thankful to God for their success and are happy for them? So typically, a thankful person, because he's content in his situation, can rejoice with others in their success as well. So what can I do? I'm going to tell you guys one thing to do as maybe something to practice for the next week to live this life of thanksgiving. Is I want you each day to purposely thank someone for something. If somebody gives you like a piece of chocolate or something like that, or okay, maybe not this week, next week. If they give you something, Xiaomi, this week, you can say thank you. This is normal. That's not what I'm talking about. Say somebody, one of our children makes their bed on their own. Make sure to go point, although it's their duty and something you told them over and over to do, but when they do it, go tell them thank you. Or when mom and dad come or mom makes you dinner. I know mom makes us dinner every day, but go and say thanks, mom, for this dinner. Do it on purpose. Say thank you on purpose once a day this week. And there are many things we can thank God for outside of that. We can thank God for being alive. We can thank Him for the nature that we enjoy. We can thank Him for the church. We can thank Him for the Bible. We can thank Him for our friends and family. There's a lot of things that we can thank Him for. For let that be our meditation and our focus for this week is every day this week to thank somebody, you know, on purpose, not just because I received something, but something that they did on purpose this week. And may God give us all the ability to live this life of thanksgiving and to thank Him for all of His goodness which He has done for us at all times. And glory be to God forever. Amen.